Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Hearts and our lives, and our lives need to reflect those things, and how the difference between eternal life and abundant life is also this. You come to a point in your life that you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so when I come to that, my eternal life is set, but your abundant life comes when you live a life believing. So we need to believe as well as be believing. And it's as I am believing and living the life of obedience and living that life of honoring God and living that life of getting into His Word and knowing His heart, what God loves and what God wants, and then adjusting my life to that, it is in those moments and those times that I'm going to experience the abundant life that He talks about in His Word. Amen? Y'all with me today? Okay, so we were talking about what God created us to be, not to do, but to be. And I gave you four words that we were going to build off of, all of which that I think are found in Genesis chapter 1. And the first one was believing. Today's is going to be belonging. Next Sunday is going to be becoming. And the Sunday after that is going to be building. And what I want is I want anyone that comes into First AG to experience this. I want all of us that are here to become, to function in these things of believing, belonging, becoming, and building. And this week we're going to look at belonging, and our foundational verse for this series is Genesis 1:26. So let's read that together. It says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So here's where we're focusing these words. All of them are found in there. Then God said, "Let us make man." That is believing. God created us to believe in Him. I told you last time we were together, God didn't want Adam and Eve to fall. He didn't want them to have to learn by experience. He wanted them to believe Him when He said, "Don't eat of this tree, it will lead to death." But they didn't. And then they experienced it. And then they went from there. So He says, "Let us make man," that's believing, "in our image," which is belonging, "according to our likeness," becoming, that we would become like them. And it says, "Let them have dominion," which is the building. "Let my kingdom be built on earth, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air," and the rest of the verse right there. So here's the thing. All of us were born wanting to belong. Would you agree with that? We all have this deep sense from childhood, and I would love to say this is something we outgrow as we become more mature in life. It's simply not true. All of us are born with a need and a sense, a desire to belong. And I want to prove it to you in this way. I want you to think about this. Some of the dumbest things you have ever done in your life were done so that you could feel like you belonged to something or someone or some group. Do you know how many trips to the ER were preceded by, "Hey guys, watch this"? Am I the only one? Unbelievably, it is such a true statement. We want to be in, we want to belong, we want to be part of, and we're willing to do crazy things and say crazy things and go along with crazy things to feel these things, because there is this need inside of us to belong to something. It can be in any and every area of our life. We can do foolish things to keep up with the Joneses. Now, if you're here and your name is Joneses, I apologize for that statement. But seriously, there's people who make very foolish financial decisions because the guy got a new car, so I've got to get a new car. This guy's got a boat, so I need to get a... I have to keep up the image of success and things, and we sometimes ruin ourselves in reality because we're trying to portray something that simply isn't true. I have seen this relationally, where people want to belong, we want to be loved, we want to feel like we fit with someone, and so we will say things and do things that are contrary to who we really are and want to be, so that we will be loved and accepted by them. And I'm going to tell you something, broken hearts don't heal as quickly as broken bones. Why were we born with a sense of wanting to belong and feeling like we don't? The answer to it you find in Genesis chapter 3. This is right after they eat the fruit. The snake comes, deceives Eve, she eats. Adam takes the fruit, they eat it, and says immediately that the eyes of both of them were open. Genesis 3, 7 through 10. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. Wow. That's the whole, you're going to be like gods. And Adam, cold out here. No, stop. Stop. Here we go. Eyes of both of them were open. They sewed fig leaves together. They made themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now here's something I want you to notice about sin. Sin always disappoints. It will always disappoint you. It might seem like the cat's meow in the moment, but I'm telling you, there's going to become afterwards this level of disappointment. As soon as Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they felt like they didn't belong, and it's something that happened immediately. Their eyes were open. They realized they're naked. They said, "Something's wrong. Something's broken. Something's wrong with us. We have to cover ourselves." They made things to hide from themselves. They didn't feel connected to God anymore. They didn't even really feel connected to each other anymore, and they put up the barrier of the fig leaves. Everything broke in that moment, and it is the result of the fall. The first thing that happens, they don't belong. They felt like we don't belong to God. We don't belong to each other. They made these coverings out of fig leaves. They were the only two people there. So here's what I mean. What were they hiding from? I mean, were the animals looking? I mean, I don't understand. Up to that point, they had been naked and no problems whatsoever. All of a sudden, they eat the fruit, and well, we've got to fix this. All of a sudden, they were ashamed. They didn't feel like they fit in. They didn't feel like they belonged. And then God comes, and he starts to walk through the garden, and they hear him coming, and they run and hide. It says this, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now listen, you can be in your house, and you can be in one room, and someone can be in your house in the other room, and you're both in your house, but you're not necessarily in the presence. But if you walk downstairs and you walk into the room with someone, you are then in the presence of that person. And this verse is kind of implying this. This wasn't something where God's kind of on the hill shouting out into the garden, "Adam, where are you?" The implication is that God walks into his presence close to Adam, and he asks Adam, "Where are you?" God heard Adam say, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid." Now understand something, this, God had never done anything to his children that would ever cause them to be afraid of him. God had never done anything. That is the effect of sin, and that is what sin does. Sin immediately gives us a sense of not belonging. Now there's two things about belonging this morning that I want to point out and that I want you to understand. One is this, you were born rejected. You were born rejected. You were born rejected by God due to sin. And I have never met a person in my life who didn't feel or didn't deal with rejection at one point or another. We were born separated from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Now, there are several words throughout the word that are used for the word sin, but the word sin in Romans 3:23 is harmata, which means to miss the mark. It is the most general word that can be used when talking about sin. And what he's trying to say here is this. He's not talking about specific this sin or specific that sin. He's not talking about addictions or lust or whatever. He's coming in and he's saying, guys, listen to me. Everybody sometime has missed the mark. Nobody's perfect. It's kind of a word that casts a very wide net. Because of that, we're born rejected. Now, the message is this. The message this morning kind of has bad news and good news, and there's a little bit of worse news in the middle. So we're going to start with the bad news. Let me give you the worst news. The worst news is this. To be accepted, you have to be perfect. That's the worst news. Now you're kind of thinking, okay, Pastor, I'm not sure where you're going with this. All right, well, hold on. We're going to get there. Stick with me, okay? Here's the thing. God came up with a perfect solution so that we could be accepted. A perfect God can only accept perfection. And he came up with a way that we could be accepted. Leviticus 22:21 says, and whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow or a freewill offering from cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. But here's the thing. If we have to be perfect to be accepted, then what hope do we have? Well, I'm going to say this. Our hope is in the Lord. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say that. Our hope is in the Lord. Because I want you to hear that, and I want you to believe that. God so loved us that he sent a perfect one to substitute for us. Hebrews 5:9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews 10:4, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now we talked last week about how when you believe in Jesus, you receive eternal life. But when you continue to live a life of believing, that is when you receive abundant life. And that's spoken again in the Hebrews 10:14. He has protected or perfected forever eternal life. That's what that's talking about. And then it says that those who are being sanctified, the process of our life that we are becoming more like Jesus. Speaks to the abundant life, which means to believe and then to continue to believe and live a life of obedience. Now, as we continue to be sanctified, to walk in his word and to obey him, we're going to experience in our life abundant life. Because of the sacrifice that he did, you and I have been perfected. Now, here's the thing. I want to explain this. I want to make sure that we're very clear on this. I am not perfect by my performance. I am not perfect by my practice. I'm not even perfect by my progress, but I can tell you this, I am perfect in my position in Jesus Christ. I am a sinner saved by grace, and because of his work on the cross, he has covered my life and covered my sins. Hebrews 12 says this, he's talking about those who have been accepted to Christ, verses 22 and 23, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men, what are the last two words? Made perfect. We are, by the grace of God, made perfect in him. And if you don't understand that this comes through grace, it really will mess you up. This is not by all that you do. This is not by if I serve long enough and if I give enough and if I teach Sunday school enough and if I volunteer enough, I'm going to get enough credit and then I'll have my perfect card. And that's not what I'm talking about. All of us have messed up. All of us all of us have missed the mark. We have fallen short of the glory of God. But because of the grace of God, we can be seen differently by the Father. All right? Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to folks and he's saying, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2. If someone asks you for your shirt, give him your coat also. And if someone strikes you, I want you to turn your cheek. I want you to love those who hate you. Love those who persecute you. And then in the middle of all of this, in Matthew 5:48, he says this, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now listen, if Jesus is talking about performance or practice, I don't know about you, but I might be in trouble. But look at what he says. I love these two words. You shall be perfect. Here's what he's saying. Right now, you're separated from God. Right now, you and God are so different. But I, Jesus, I'm going to do something to make you perfect in his sight. I'm going to wash away all of your sin. I'm going to take them upon myself so that you can have a relationship with him. That's the work of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you something? Have you ever wrestled with perfection? Even though we know we're fallible. But don't we wrestle with it? I know I do. I love perfect things. My wife, probably the one of the things that she'll love and hate about me is nothing's ever good enough. If we're good, let's be great. If we're great, let's be exceptional. I think average is we're losers. I just think, you know, God didn't call us just to scrape through. I want our relationship, I want our marriage, I want our children, I want our church, I want everything to be above and best and better. And I believe we can do it in and through Christ. And I want, I mean, I kid you not, I mean, there's you'll have to ask Pastor Chris what our pep talk is every Sunday morning. Guys, we get 6 days to get one day right. Let's not suck. That's our pep talk. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, I want perfect. I want perfect slides. I don't want any words spelled incorrectly. I want perfect worship. I don't want you forgetting the words. I don't want you singing the wrong keys. If the drummer's playing one song and you're singing another song, y'all need to work on it more. Let's aim for perfection. I want a perfect message. Can I tell you how many times I have finished a service, went out, sat in the car, and thought, how horrible was I today? Because the message, I write, and you get it, and you just know God is going to use this. And then you get in here, and you stumble over your words, and I'm trying to say something, and it comes out bad, or I say something I didn't have scripted, and it's like, man, that didn't make sense. You know, gosh, Wes, you big dummy. And there's days, I mean, truthfully, there are days that it's happening. Anyone who understands what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. You want it right. And there are times it gets heavy, doesn't it? My wife has heard me say this. I just don't live my life with room for a lot of error because I understand that how I go, my home goes, my marriage goes, my children go, my church goes. And so I'm always saying, God, help me, God, help me. Now, the sad part of all of this is I'm probably more like Paul, who says, I'm probably the chiefest of sinners. I mess up more than I realize, more than I know, and some people are so gracious to always point it out. Thank you for that. But when I'm not perfect and you do blow it, it feels far worse than what it actually is. And so I've come to the place of understanding that in my life, I just have to be perfect by and in grace. That's all I got. I hope you know that every Sunday we try our best. We are doing our best. We're believing for the best. And by God's grace, we're perfect. But here's how this also plays down. You know, we say that, and I can say that for me, but you ever have that moment that God just kind of puts his hand on you, and God says, you know what, I think I want you to teach a class. You know what, I want you to lead a small group. You know what, I want you to join a ministry. And your first immediate thought, your first immediate thing is you feel God, you hear that little voice, and the first thing out of your head is, you know what, God, you just got the wrong person. God, it will never work. I can't do that, God. It's not going to function like that, God. Jesus, you don't want me. There's other people who seem so much more qualified. And God says, no, I put my hand on you and say, well, God, you know, I understand all of that, but seriously, you're making a mistake here. And we tell God it won't work because of this or that, but God says this, by my grace, you're perfect for this. Because of me, you're perfect for this. So you got to understand, A, you were born rejected. Two is this, we were born again accepted. We are born again accepted. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now Ephesians 1:6 in the New Living Translation says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. I love that. We belong to him. Mark 9:41 says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. See, I've preached this verse before. I've preached the front end, those who give a cup to those who need, and talked about giving and serving and helping those who are less fortunate and that our lives can make a difference to somebody else. I've talked about the last verse. You know, by no means will they lose their reward and investing our lives in things of the kingdom and things of eternity and how those things are never taken away and those things are all going to stay with us and go with us. But we skip over the middle part. Do you know why you're able to do the front and the back of that verse? Because of the middle of that verse. And this is, again, what it says. Because you belong to Christ. You are His. And by His grace, you are perfect. You see, we were orphans. We didn't belong to anyone. Or if we did belong to someone, we belonged to the bag father, the father of lies who betrayed us and led us. But now we have been adopted into a new family. We have belonged to Him now. We've been accepted by God. And I want you to know something. I want every person at First AG to know that you belong. You fit in. You belong in His family. You belong in our family. And I want you to belong. I want you to join up. I want you to get involved. I want you to invest your heart in your life. I want you to serve. I want you to volunteer. I want you to get into a group and meet some friends. I don't want this to be a weekend country club where we come together on the weekends just to say, oh, thank God we're saved and the world isn't. We're so bright and they're so dark. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to heaven and na-na-na-da-boo-boo to those that are out there lost. That is not what we're called to be. That is not what we're called to show or to live. Truth of the matter is the amount of Christ that you're going to experience is going to be directly related to the amount of commitment that you're willing to make. I want to do something for Jesus of eternity. Well, then get involved. Join. Serve. Give. Love. Show up. Invest. Had a real life class yesterday, and we talk about real life, and I encourage everybody to go through the process, because I want to tell you something. There is a difference between going to something and belonging to something. Dating is different than marriage. It feels different, carries differently. Belong. So let me make this point clear, and I don't want to be mistaken anything about it. The reason that we have been accepted was because Jesus was rejected for us. Isaiah 53:3, He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Mark 8:31, and He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, after 3 days rise again. Psalms 118:22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Acts 4:11, now the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Listen, it is very clear that Jesus came to His own and His own did not receive Him. But His own here is not just the Jewish people. His own here was His creation. Theologically, you need to understand that the reason that the Father can accept us is because the Father rejected Jesus so that you could be accepted. He paid your debt because He is perfect and we are not. Mark 15:34, and in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think about this for a minute. He was fully man and fully God. In the garden, He's praying. And what is He praying? He's saying, Lord, if this cup can pass from me. Well, what cup? He knew what was going to happen. God, if there's any other way that I don't have to go through what I'm about to go through, let it be that way. God said, there's no other way. There's a debt. It requires a sacrifice. The sacrifice has to be perfect. Jesus, you're the only perfect sacrifice. They are not perfect, but they need to belong to me. And the only way that they can belong to me is if you lay down your life for them. So why does Jesus cry out? He knew what He was getting into. He knew what was coming, and I think here's while He knew what was coming, I don't think He knew how it would feel. And all of a sudden on the cross, all the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, come on Him, and He felt what we felt. He felt what Adam and Eve felt right after they ate the fruit, and they looked around and said, something's wrong. We don't belong here anymore. We don't belong to each other. He felt separated from God because of the sins of the world. And He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, did God forsake Him? No, God never gives up on anybody. But sin always makes us feel like we don't belong. Rejection is the worst, isn't it? You extend a hand and it's slapped away. You open arms and they walk away. There's very little in life that I think stings as much as rejection, and yet everyone wrestles with it. The thoughts of everyone will eventually leave you. The fear of it keep people from loving, from opening up, from reaching out. I say, invite your neighbors to Jesus. You don't doubt that they need Jesus, but you're saying, what if I ask and what if they say no? You ever ask the one that you love why they love you? You say, why do you love me? I love you because you're kind. You know what rejection whispers in your ear? Well, if you're ever not kind, they're going to leave you. Why do you love me? I love you because you're a great parent, and I love you because you love our kids. And you're a great father. You're a great mother. You know what rejection whispers in your ear? Well, if you ever stop being a great parent, you know what's going to happen? They're going to leave you. Rejection is an evil thing. And that's what it whispers into our heart. And it may sound shocking when I say this, but listen, there is no good reason for God to love you. We didn't give God a reason to love us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while there is no reason for God to love us, there is an explanation, and I want to give you the explanation. He loves you today because you belong to him. Why do you love your spouse? Because they're yours. Why do you love your parents? Because they're yours. Why do you love your kids? It's not because they always do things that make you excited. Right? Why do you love your kids? Because they're your kids. Clive and Ash with this little newborn, man, that little kid, you know, in the middle of the night, he's screaming and he you know what I'm talking about. And listen, I mean, and you go in there, you would love for him to sleep throughout the night. You're saying, God, either let him sleep throughout the night or let me sleep longer than Ash so she hears him first. You know, I mean, you get very creative in your prayer life when you're newborn, when you have newborns. But you know what? There's never a moment you go in there and hate that child. Doesn't matter how many diapers, it doesn't matter how far up the back it came. I mean, it just doesn't matter. You know why you love? You love that child because God gave that child to you and he's yours. Can I tell you that God thinks the same way about you? Does God like everything we do? No. Because we're not perfect. We all miss the mark. But God loves you because you're his. God made a way for you because you're his. God made a way for you because God wants you to belong to him. And that's the gospel. They're yours, they belong, and they are part. And I want you to belong, and I want you to belong here because I think this place is a great place to belong. Amen.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.